Joel chapter 1. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which the palmer worm hath left hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left hath the canker worm eaten, and that which the canker worm hath eaten hath the caterpillar eaten. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my vine waste, and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare, and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests, the Lord's ministers, mourn. The field is wasted, the land mourneth, for the corn is wasted. The new wine is dried up, the oil languisheth. Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen. Howl, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Gird yourselves and lament, ye priests. Howl, ye ministers of the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God. For the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. Sanctify ye a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Alas for the day! For the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Is not the meat cut off before our eyes? Yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God. The seed is rotten under their clods. The garners are laid desolate. The barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. How do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed, because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of waters are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Joel chapter 1 and verse 1. We have an introduction given to us by the man of God. The word of the Lord which came unto Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left, hath the canker worm eaten, and that which the canker worm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. The thing to keep in mind when you read this book of Joel is that there has been a remarkable providence upon the land. It has been a most difficult time. A locust plague has devastated the country. And that plague is described in this book. Now, locusts are not uncommon in the land, and as solitary or in small bands, they can be pretty much tolerated. But a plague of them is terrible. And when they multiply like an innumerable army, that is a different story. And that is what has happened. It's a remarkable providence. It's most unusual. And it is described in this first chapter. And the imagery continues on into the second chapter. It's summarized there in verse 4, that which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten, that which the locust hath left, hath the canker worm eaten, that which the canker worm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. These are multiple invasions of locusts. Army after army. One comes, another comes. Locusts beyond number, arriving in the land and devastating it. Now, locust plagues were not unknown in Bible days. They come around from time to time. But in Joel's day, this was a most notable invasion. There had been nothing like it. It was so unusual. People knew it was from God. And God's servant has been called to draw attention to this marvellous, unparalleled plague. This plague cannot pass without being preached about. It is so great a providence, unprecedented, that it has to be preached about. The plague is God's messenger. It is a judgment. And God's servant Joel has to accompany it with God's word. And that's what this book is about. It's not that Joel said, "This is a remarkable thing. I have to preach about this. I think the Lord would want me to preach some sermons on this." And so he writes down some messages or some sermons. That is not what happened. This is not Joel's weighing up of the situation. If that is all that it is, he could have got it wrong. He wouldn't be infallible, and it certainly would not have been a divine message to us 2,800 years or so away from him. So that's not how it happened. Joel just didn't decide to sit down and formulate some messages. No, Joel tells us what happened in verse 1. The word of the Lord came to him. The Lord came to him. The Lord brought the message to him. God's word apprehended him. God's word took hold of him. He didn't take hold of it. He didn't, as it were, reach up and try to take hold of it. No, it came to him. It found him. And it came upon him as a burden. What did Peter say? The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. The word of the Lord came. And Peter says it didn't come by the will of man. It came by the will of God. And holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And that's the story of the origin of the prophecy of Joel. The word of the Lord came to him. The word came to him by the Spirit. The Spirit moved him. The Spirit came upon him. And Joel is taken hold of. And Joel becomes the mouthpiece of Jehovah. Now God has sent two things then into the land. The rod. This plague of locusts. But also the word. The locust plague came, but also accompanying that, the word of the Lord came. God's voice is accompanying his rod. And it always does to his people. There are two voices. The two voices of God. One in his rod. One in his word. There's a voice in the plague. That is heard. It is God's voice. But sinners cannot make it out because of the deformity of their hearts. Providence is loud. But sinners cannot, as it were, interpret it and hear its right message. This is because of our deformity of heart. But the word of the Lord is God's voice, clear and distinct in human syllables and phrases and words and sounds that men can make out. God's word comes to our understanding. It speaks clearly. It expounds the rod. And it interprets the voice that is in the plague. God is a speaking God. The word of the Lord came. He speaks. Why does he speak? Because he is gracious. He is long-suffering. He is merciful. This is part of Joel's message, you know, later on. In chapter 2, verse 13. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. And so that's why God speaks. Because he's gracious. He's long-suffering. And so God accompanies his remarkable providence, especially providential judgments, with his word. These judgments are not hell. These judgments upon the land are not eternal. They are rods of rebuke. They are voices of warning, calling upon the people to repent. That's what this prophecy is all about. Bringing his word with his rod to call sinners to repentance. And maybe people are saying, what is this all about? They can hardly deny that God's hand is in this. The ancient Hebrews knew rightly what hand was in it. They must be asking, why? Why this plague? Why has God brought this? And what is God saying to us in this? I say this because we are in a situation a bit like in Joel's day. We are in the midst of a remarkable providence. So unusual that we have seen nothing like it in our memories. This calamity, this state of things caused by the coronavirus, it's so remarkable as to seem almost unreal, a nightmare. It is unprecedented. It has even affected the church. It has reached to God's house. God's people have been cut off from attendance at the sanctuary on a massive and universal scale. That doesn't happen every generation. And we have to be asking, the nations have to be asking, and the church, yes, the church is being rebuked. The church is being chastised. And the church has to ask, why? In Joel's day, the plague's providence was affecting the sanctuary. Verse 9 of chapter 1, the meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests, the Lord's ministers, mourn. It's touched the church. It's got to the very heart of the worship of God among his people. And we have to ask, what is the Lord saying to us? Why would the Lord allow this to happen to us? Why are our churches closed? What have we done to grieve the Lord? Is there something amiss? Has the Lord something to say to us? We need to be asking. And the little prophecy of Joel may perhaps give unto us understanding. It may persuade us concerning God's will and what he expects of us in this, our day and generation. The first three verses form an introduction to the prophecy of Joel. Verse 1 tells us of the divine source and heavenly authority for the text that we are handling and studying. It is the word of the Lord. It was written indeed down by the pen man Joel, the son of Pethuel, a holy man of God wrote. But he wrote as one to whom the Spirit of the Lord moved and came upon and brought that word to him, so that the text is the very word of the Lord. And that's what we're told in verse 1. And in verses 2 to 3, God draws attention to the unprecedented nature of the judgment that is present upon the land. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. Have you seen anything like this before? And so this plague of locusts that is upon the land is unparalleled. Now verses 2 and 3 are very interestingly laid out. In verse 2, the Lord, through the prophet, refers to the past. And in verse 3, he refers to the future. Now, concerning the past, who would you ask about the past? Who's living who knows about the past? You'd have to ask the old men, the elders amongst the people, the elderly. And so that's where this starts. It starts with the old men, the elderly amongst the people, and then it ends at the end of verse 3 with the fourth generation. That's quite a bit of time, certainly over 100 years. The fathers, their children, and then another generation. And so the fathers of the inhabitants of the land are asked, you can go back. You can go back maybe 100 years. Have you seen anything like this? Now the old men, they know most about the past. So you old men, you're 90s now, you're 100. Have you seen anything like this? Nope. And then God addresses everybody in the land. All the inhabitants of the land. There's not one exception. Hear this. Every ear is to listen. Every life has been halted. Every life has been paused by the providence. And now every ear is to listen. All the inhabitants of the land. This is a book every ear is to listen to. This is a prophecy that everyone is to hear. God wants everyone to be affected by the word. All the inhabitants of the land. Just as everyone has been affected by the providence. There's not one has been sheltered from the remarkable providence. There's not one who's blind to it. There's not one who's deaf to it. There's not one who hasn't seen something of it in its unusual nature. And that's the way it is with us today. Everyone has been affected by this virus crisis. Not one person is blind to what's going on amongst the nations. And so the providence has affected everybody, and therefore everybody affected by that providence needs to give ear to God's word. All the inhabitants of the land. It has affected you all. And now God says, I want you all to listen. Give ear. Hear the word of the Lord. And so that's the way it is today. The virus is directly hitting many, but indirectly it is hitting us all the inhabitants. And all the inhabitants need to hear God's word, to search the scriptures, to inquire concerning the reasons for this providence, the divine hand in it. Why has God allowed it? To hear what he is saying through it and what word he has to accompany it. To listen to his word all the more carefully. Surely that's the very least that should be expected of us who are seeing and witnessing something that we will not forget. And we'd even have to tell our children and our children's children about it. And so verse 3 tells us that here's something to tell for years to come. Not only has nothing like it been seen in the past, hasn't ever anything like this in the days of your fathers, Joel says. And so it's going to be something, it's so remarkable that it's going to be talked about for years to come. The providence will be talked about to future generations. It will go on being told. It will go on and on. It'll go down in the history books. The last generation is indefinite. You will notice he doesn't write and the next generation. No, another generation. We can draw that out. And another generation. And the sense is that it's not to be stopped. It's to go on and on being told. Another generation. The telling is not to cease. In fact, God writes it down so that it will go on being told. And God writes it down so when the New Testament church comes, it'll be told. And God writes it down so that when the church grows and expands and goes on and on for 2,000 years and continues to go on, the story is still being told. And God has given us this prophecy so that we won't forget the story. The story will always be appropriate to us. It will always be a challenge to us. It will always remember us of days of the Lord that we encounter. It will always be challenging us with the great day of the Lord which is yet to come. So we have the story and we have to keep on telling it because God wants us to. And so you see, God draws us, the modern reader, into the text, into the story, into the drama of this remarkable providence. God doesn't want this plague of locusts to be forgotten. He sent it to teach Israel over 2,600 or so years ago, to teach them the knowledge of God. But not just to teach them, to teach us as well, to lead us into the knowledge of the Lord, to bring us to repentance, to bring the church to the place where it should be, and to bring sinners to salvation. The word of the Lord is up to date. And this book challenges you today, and it challenges me. And we need to listen to its message. And we need to get its truth into our hearts. And we need to be drawn closer to Christ through it. And be made more like Jesus by means of it. And may the Lord so bless its study to affect these things in our lives for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.